thank you for another day. Thank you for the sunshine that's out there right now. And Father, just to give us wisdom and ears to hear what you have to say in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, from what I could see last week, I can't get into here. I'm just going to stay here. From what I could listen of what you guys were chatting about last week, it seems to me that you got pretty well through number one, you know, where it fell on good ground.
Mm-hmm.
The seed fell on good ground, and there was 30, 60, and 90.
30, 60, and 100, yes.
And 100, yes, that's right. We don't want 90, we want 100.
That's right, we want it all.
We want it all.
That's right.
So,
You
read to 33.
And
let's see.
Discuss those.
The mustard seed. Then there was the leaven. I don't think you got into the leaven.
We didn't discuss the mustard seed.
The mustard seed or the leaven, yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and then the one where the whatever it was, the tare got into the wheat, and then they let them grow up together until the taunt, till they were mature, until they both had fruit on them. And then they pulled up the tare and threw them in the furnace, and then he pulled up the wheat and sent it to the harvesting place. Okay, so I love that. I love that. The thing that bothers me, or that I notice about that, is that in my knowledge, weeds grow deeper roots than crops. And pulling, when they both have grown to maturity, and then he says, pull out the tares, I think that would be really hard to do. I've had to actually get that to get some of those weeds out. But then you can get at the wheat. And there's something to be said for both of them maturing before they can be dealt with. Okay, let's go on to the mustard seed. Want to try that again? Let's read the mustard seed and the leaven. I think it's Brenda this week, isn't it?
It is. I'm looking to see where to start.
31 through 35.
Tell the people what chapter you're in.
Okay, we're in chapter 13 of Matthew, and Jesus is telling stories.
Parables, starting at 31 to 35 right now. Another story by way of comparison he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And of all the seeds, it is the smallest, but when it has grown, it is the largest of the herb, garden herb, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, sour dough, which a woman took and covered over in three measures of meal or flour, till all of it was leavened. These things, all taken together, Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, without a parable, he said nothing to them. This was in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world.
Comments? Let me just read it. In the Passion, That's 31, the parable. Oh, that's 24. Huh? Then Jesus taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom can be compared to a tiny mustard seed that a man takes and plants in his field. Although the smallest of all the seeds, it eventually grows into the greatest of garden plants, becoming a tree for birds to come and build their nests in its branches. Well, that's kind of different than the advice that he gives about unless you have faith of a tiny mustard seed. Is that where he said you cannot see the kingdom of God? I think.
The Lord gave me a message on that one time. I'll share it if you guys want me to. He said, unless you have faith like important, a mustard seed.
Mm.
That's important. What kind of faith does a mustard seed have? It's a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be nothing else but a mustard seed. That's all it is. That's its faith. It is a mustard seed. It was created to be a mustard seed. It's going to be a mustard seed no matter what you do with it. You know, years ago, women used to get those little crystal necklaces. Yeah. And they had a little seed in them that was a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was, that little crystal thing kind of magnified, I guess, the size of the mustard seed so you could actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't say, unless you had the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was like a mustard seed, I believe is what it would be. And unless you have the faith of what God's word declares about you, you know what I mean? You are what God says you are. You're not what every situation, circumstance, and everything else says that you are. See? And we have to quit allowing all of the things around us. And don't get me wrong when I say this. I'm not saying I've done that totally. Because I'm just like the rest of you all. I mean, I have doubts and things that creep in there and allow myself to say things I shouldn't say and do things I shouldn't do at times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No different than the rest of you. But I know God's word is true. And I know that when he says something, it is. And a mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. It knows it's a mustard seed. It has no doubt it's a mustard seed. It knows no apples are going to come out of it when it gets put in the ground. It knows a mustard bush tree or whatever it is comes out. Grows out of it, that's what it's going to be. We have to realize that we've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And that seed can bring forth nothing but God. That's all it can bring forth. It can't bring forth anything else. Now, it has to be planted. It has to be watered. It has to have sunshine, S-O-N, the light of God. But when you start adding those things to it, it can bring forth absolutely nothing but the Son of God. And to as many as received him, and when you receive him, you receive the water, you receive the sunshine, you receive everything but the dirt. We're the dirt. We're the dirt. We bring the dirt, you know. And the dirt ain't always nice dirt, you know what I mean? And we bring the dirt. But you know,
mm-hmm.
And Scripture says we have this treasure where?
Yeah.
In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to keep our focus at. This thing doesn't depend on us. It depends on him. The excellency of the power is of him. It's not of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're united to him, we become a part of him. So when we become a part of him, then when we come to the realization of who and what we really are and what he's called us to be, you know, then what we really need to learn to do, and this is hard to say this, we need to learn to relax, believe what his word declares that we are, and when we see anything but what his word is declaring, we need to start saying that thing is not, it's not true, it's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
reality is you, Lord, and help us to move into the total reality of you. You know.
When you first
I just preached you a whole sermon there. I'm sorry.
When you started to say like a mustard seed,
yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of the word similitude that's used in it. And the whole thing points me to the wrong identity. When we realize who and what we really are, we are just a tiny little mustard seed, but wow, what God can make out of that.
Yeah.
That's, these little teeny things become this gigantic bush tree, that all the birds of the air, people can find comfort and protection in the leaves of that thing that started off as a mustard seed, but that mustard seed knew what it was and who planted it and what that, who is the planter? God. God's the one who planted us right here. He chose to make us a mustard seed. So we acknowledge that that's what we are, and we see ourselves as we truly are in Him, and we become exactly what He planted us to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's interesting when you said dirt to me, because our faith can't grow without the dirt. It's just like the seed.
Right.
If I can be everything in the world, but if I'm the guy that just doesn't have any dirt, nothing's going to grow in me. My faith is not going to grow in me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, see, you know, one of the first sermons I had heard Brother Eddie preach, I still remember it to this day, because it really helped me a lot. And when he talked about the chaff and the wheat, okay. And you know, I knew God was moving in my life very strongly as a young Christian. I knew He was. I was very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
He was opening things up to me left and right. But I also still saw the remnants of that old life cropping up all the time, you know, saying, doing things that I shouldn't do, and then all of a sudden realizing, man, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't say this, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But I found myself self-condemning myself, you know, bringing condemnation upon myself, you know. And what I began to realize when I heard Brother Eddie preach that sermon, that the chaff is part of the growth process. The corn of wheat is covered by the chaff, you know. And when the fullness of time has come in a situation. The wheat has been harvested. It's all grown to its full potential. Then what the reaper does, he cuts it down, and he takes it over to the threshing floor, and he throws it on the threshing floor. Then what he begins to do on the threshing floor is he does different things. He brings carts to run over it, animals trot over it, all kind of stuff happens to it, because he's breaking the chaff off of the wheat. Then the harvester takes the winnowing fork. That's what that really mounts out to, the winnowing fork. Takes a winnowing fork and he throws it up into the air. And when he throws it up into the air, guess what? The wind starts to blow the chaff away. It separates it from, and who is the wind? It's God. I mean, God's the wind. You know, He's always called the wind in everything that happens.
Yeah.
You know, he blows through it. And as he blows through it, he begins to separate the chaff from the wheat. The wheat falls back down. Then the wheat is ready to be made bread. Now another thing, think about this. When David went to build the temple, he went to Ornan in the Old Testament, Ornan. And he wanted to purchase Ornan's threshing floor. And Ornan said, I'll not take anything you know, I'll donate it to God.
Yeah.
And David almost insisted on paying him, and he said, no, I won't do that. I won't take any money. Basically, I'm paraphrasing this. And they built the temple on the thrashing floor.
Wow.
Know ye not, you're the temple of God. You're built upon the thrashing floor. So when those animals and those carts and those things roll over you to bring forth the bread of God, the wheat, you know, don't be surprised when it happens, because yeah, it hurts. It's things that you have no control over at the time. You think, oh my God, what else can happen? Why else can this? What else can this happen to me? Well, what he's doing a lot of times is he's breaking the chaff off of you. But the chaff is necessary up until a point. And a lot of times, I'll tell you why I believe God causes the chaff to be necessary. Because if there was no chaff, we would get so exalted and so lifted up and think that we were so big shot. And it happens to a lot of ministers out there. Where bless God, God does this and I can do that. And it's not about all that. It's all about Him, and it's all about what He is in your life and what He's doing. And when He's got you on the threshing floor, and you are the temple of God, and that's where the temple was built, on that threshing floor. He's got you on the threshing floor, and you're getting beat around and knocked around, and things are going wrong, and you're thinking, oh my God, I thought this thing was going to be wonderful and full of glory and all that stuff. And it is, but it also is full of a lot of trials, a lot of temptations, a lot of correction and other things that God uses, you know. So, I mean, my brother preached that sermon. It helped me so much, because I realized, praise God, Lord, you've allowed this chaff to stay there. You didn't totally change me completely. You know, if you had a, and I'll be honest with you, if you come into the Lord and you got a total revelation all at one time, it'd kill you.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe it literally would kill you, because you couldn't handle it. Little by little, He's changing you. Line upon line, He's changing you. Precept by precept, He's changing you. And He says that in Isaiah 28, I think it is. But He says, and this is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to rest. Okay? Because we have to realize He's doing it a little bit at a time. He's revealing Himself to us a little bit more all the time. And as He reveals that to us a little bit more, He's doing it because where we can actually handle what He's revealing to us. You know what I'm saying? And everybody that just claims, oh, bless God, I'm there, I've been there, I've got it all. I run away from them guys, I'll tell you. Because I haven't seen one of them that's shown me that in the spirit, that's shown me that in the natural. I've not seen any of them walking across the Ohio River when it's not frozen. I'm not seeing any of those things. That's not saying that that's no reflection upon those people. But I'm just telling you, there's a fullness of time in this, and when we come to the fullness of the reality of God, then there will be nothing that we cannot do, but it will not be us doing it. It will be the presence of God inside of us,
yes,
rising up and being Lord in all situations, just like it was with Jesus, you know. And yeah, God lets us sometimes do miraculous things in Him. Sometimes He does. He lets us do it, you know. But it's still all about Him. He's the one. That presence inside of us, that's what's doing it.
Well,
it's not that fleshly man, that chaff guy.
Yes.
It's the guy inside the chaff,
yes,
you know.
Hallelujah. That's good. I'm over here about getting ready to praise the Lord. You know, I see that's one of the reasons why Jesus said, was it Jesus? Who said? It was James. Count it all joy when you fall into these terrible situations. Welcome problems, and because that means you're approaching maturity. You're about to go on the threshing floor, and that means that the the mature Son of God that's within you is about to be revealed. You know, you're getting there. When it all, you know, when you lose it all, you found it all.
Right.
When you realize, wow, that's good. I was thinking, too, what Mike said about the seed and the dirt. I mean, look at that dirt.
Yeah.
You know, there's some bad stuff in there. But we need compost, don't we? And then there's worms crawling around in there, and there's dead things, and rot and mold. And that's what God uses to build the deep roots that grow
right.
The giant tree that comforts the birds of the air.
Right.
He's got a plan. And I believe, too, what I was thinking when we were talking, where God says, hold lightly to the things of this world.
Right.
Because we're at the age physically, and we are at the age spiritually, where things are changing for us. And we can't hold on to what, I mean, even in physical age, things are starting to happen that we're not going to be able to go on climbing up on the roof and fixing the roof ourselves. We're not going to be able to go on doing so many things that we used to do because there are parts of us that don't work the way they used to work. And we can't go on eating this kind of stuff that we used to eat. And we need to let go of a lot of our feeling that we can control anything because God is in control. And it is not in His will that we be little emperors that control our own little circumstances.
Remember what he said to Peter? He said, when you was young, you girded yourself about and you went wheresoever you wanted to go. He said, but when you're old, he said, others are going to gird you and they're going to take you where you don't necessarily want to go sometimes.
Yes.
And you know what? I believe that that's when you come to the place to where you've surrendered to God.
Surrender.
And you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you take me wherever you want to take me. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it. And you know, what Mike was saying about the dirt, you know, I love that because the dirt is necessary. It has to be, you know. You know, God uses people. You know, He uses people, He uses ministries, He uses all of those things. And a lot of times, if you pull totally away from the brothers and the sisters and all that stuff, then to be honest with you, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting your growth at times, I believe.
There's no growth.
Yeah. Because he wants you to rub each other, you know. Your brothers will say, in the natural, your brothers will say things to you, or your sisters will say things to you in the natural that you wouldn't let nobody else say to you, but they'll make you mad, and you'll get mad at them, but you still love them, you know what I mean? But it's the same way spiritually. You know, people will say things that'll hurt your feelings, and a lot of times people, they got their feelings hurt, they'll take their ball and they'll want to go home. Well, guess what? You'll get somewhere else, and God will put somebody else around you that'll do exactly the same thing or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you come to a place where you come to a place of surrendering God, and you surrender, you know. And, you know, a lot of people that I've known over the years who were into a little bit of a deeper word at one time, you see them in their later years, and they're almost exactly where they were when they left.
Mm-hmm.
Almost exactly. And, you know, that's not a good thing, you know. I mean, it's not a good thing. Because, you know, if you're not growing, if you don't see leaves on the tree, if it's not growing, then what good is it? You know what I mean? And we all need to want to grow. And a lot of times, a lot of growth. Mark, we've had two trees in our front yard. And I kind of hated to cut them down, but the roots were getting over. Starting to get over close into the foundation of my house and stuff. Marcus kept saying, well, you need to cut them down sometime. I love those trees.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I could go out and sit in the front of my house in a glider or something. It was about 15 degrees cooler when the sun was shining. It was just nice, you know, and it looked really pretty in front of the house. And the house looks kind of naked now without those trees out there. But you know, those trees, every so often, they would get limbs down low.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't cut the grass, I couldn't get around and stuff. I'd chop off those leaves, of those limbs. Mm-hmm. And Margaret'd say, "You're gonna ruin that tree, you're gonna kill it," you know, stuff like that. I'd say, "No, no, it's okay, it's okay." And what it really did when I cut off the lower limbs, it grew way taller and way bigger. And, you know, when we come to realize that when God starts pruning things off of our lower attitudes and our lower, all it's going to do is create growth in us. Yes. And our, all of our pride and our, bless God, I can't believe that brother or that sister said that to me, you know. They don't realize who I am or what, that kind of stuff. I, you know, we got to get past all that, folks, because I tell you what, He uses the brothers and the sisters to prune you. And you know what? A lot of times He uses people in the world out there to prune you too. You know, when Solomon actually built the temple. Now, David gave Solomon everything that he needed to build the temple. And if you go back and read in the Old Testament, the dumps around it, around Israel, had dumps, I mean literally dumps, with silver, gold, bronze, all that stuff. They had so much of it, God had blessed them so much, David had supplied so much, that they literally had dumps. And if you read it in some translations, it'll kind of tell you that there was dumps around the city and stuff. And when they got ready to build a temple, they had everything that they needed to build that temple. And I got news for you. You got everything that you need to be part of the temple of God, to be built together for that habitation of God through the Spirit. You don't need anything else. You just need God and His workmen, whatever workmen He sends into your life. And the funny thing about it is I read that, and I thought, this is really weird when I read this years ago. There was not to be the sound of a hammer in the building site. Now, can you imagine them putting this building up here and there not being the sound of a hammer anywhere when they got ready to build it? You know what that means? That means that when they were brought into the building site, that everything was already pre-cut, pre-made, and finished, and all they had to do was put it together. And a lot of times, that's the way the Lord does with us. And sometimes it's your next door neighbor, sometimes it's your boss, sometimes it's one of your kids, sometimes it's whatever it is that does that chipping away on the stone, or that does that rubbing on the stone. And remember, even, you know, and all those things in the Bible just declare God and His glory. When David went to kill Goliath, he went down to the brook, he picked up 5 smooth round stones. Now, I got news for you. If I'm going after that giant in the natural, I'm going to get the sharpest, jaggedest stone I can and hit that sucker with it, because I'm going to figure that's going to do the most damage to him. That isn't what David did. He picked up 5 smooth, round stones. And he came against Goliath in the name of the Lord. And a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of times people think, well, praise God, we need to get away from the 5 ministries, the apostles, prophets, pastor, evangelists. We need to move on beyond that. No, we don't. That's the 5 round stones. That's the stones where God should be working on those people, so that when He uses them in your life, He helps kill the giant things in your life by the word that He declares of the Lord. And David picked one and reached in his bag, and it didn't tell you what he took this certain one out, or he took that. He took one out and he flung it. And where did he hit Goliath at? Right between the eyes. And where do we need to get hit all the time? Right between the eyes. Get that old thinking out of the way, that old stinking thinking. That old, I got to have it my way stuff. And if it ain't working the way I think it should be working, bless God, I'm going to move on and do something else. God moves you on to do something else, wonderful. Go do what He's got you to do.
You know that,
but don't run away from the giant.
Oh. You know
don't run away from the giant.
That stone was guided by God.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you didn't need a jagged stone.
Yeah.
The right area.
Well, and think about that smooth round stone. Mm. You ever go to get like garden stuff at the garden center, stones, you know, I'm talking about.
Polished.
They're river stones are called. Mm-hmm. Why are they river stones? Because the water has washed over them and rubbed them with the other stones and washed over them until they're smooth and they're round. They ain't got no jaggedness on them. They're smooth. And let me tell you what, that water is a type of the Word of God. It has to wash over our lives until it works off all the rough edges. And when it works off all the rough edges, then when that stone is taken out and is slung at the giant situation, it'll bring the giant situation down, you know. And I mean, oh, there's just so many things in the scripture that just declare God's glory. And then even in the natural, we can see those things and we can understand, you know, that river stone that you got, that you put in your can't think what you call it, your landscaping, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, put it in your landscaping. It took a lot of work for that thing to get smooth and round as it was. Mm-hmm. Nobody machined it, that was all natural. That was all done by God. Mm-hmm. When it was in water, when it was worked around, you know, that kind of thing. And you know what, that's the way it is with us in the spirit. You know, we have to become those smooth, round stones. And I love that he picked up five, because that tells you something right there. Because apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, the fivefold ministry. People say, oh, it's time for the fivefold ministry, go away. He gave those things until we all come into the unity of the faith, unto a really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and it will tell you. First of all, what our part of that is, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, how do we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? First of all, we have to invite the Prince of Peace to come into our life and into every situation, because we have to be in unity with Him, oneness with Him. And when we're in oneness with Him, guess what? We'll start being in one with everyone around us. That, you know what I mean? We'll quit being agitators and instigators and all that other stuff. And then it goes on and says, until we come to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Well, what is the unity of the faith? That's where He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We come in total unity with Him in everything. And once we come in total unity with Him in everything, then we can do anything that He tells us to do, because, and believe that it's going to happen and know that it's going to happen, because He is the author and finisher. And it always has to be done by faith. And doing what? Speaking the truth in love. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people try to speak truth, and they're not doing it in love. And if it's not done in love, then it's really useless. Speaking the truth in love, coming in that we might grow up into Him in all things. That's what it says in Ephesians 4 chapter. You need to read that. Read it real good. I mean, it's and just ponder it and look at it. And I'll tell you, it tells you a lot there. It tells you a lot. But our part of that is we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And you know, quit trying to be at war with everybody. quit trying to fight with everybody. Quit trying to, you know, you ain't gonna change them by doing that. You know, you need to start showing the love of God and loving them no matter what they're doing or how they are. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not easy. That's a hard thing to do. But that's our part of it. Trying to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then will come into the unity of the faith, you know. And when we come into that unity of the faith, then it won't be, bless God over here, they know all these truths, and they know over here, no, well, we know all these truths. It won't be all that. It'll be like old Bill Britton said about the ducks. Remember the duck story? All these ducks had, some were spotted and some were different colored and all this, and they were all in their separate pens, and they were quack, quack, quacking at each other. I love his stories because they're so simple and easy to understand. Quack, quack, quacking at each other. You know, we're right here. No, no, we're right over here. No, we got the truth over here. No, no, we do. Until the water started coming. And the water kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. And after a while, the water had rose up to where there was no more fences.
Yeah.
And once it was above the fences, mm-hmm. then all the ducks just start swimming together, you know. Yeah. And you know what? It's time for the body of Christ to start swimming together yes. in the water of the Word of God. And when they begin to do that, and the water covers the earth as the Lord covers the earth, as the waters mm-hmm. cover the sea, you know, then we're going to come to realize that He's got this thing all in control, and it's not out of control. It looks like it. I mean, you look out there yes. today and you think, oh my God, it looks like we're about to get into all kind of wars and all kind of things yeah. are going on and crazy stuff happening. And you just have to say, okay, Lord, You're in control of it. And I have a hard time with that sometimes, because I look at those things and I think, oh my God, what is all this? You know, what's
yeah.
going on?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you cringe. And you think, what about my grandkids? And you know, yeah. the Lord will probably take me on before this ever happens, you know. But what about these young kids and stuff? What in the world? What kind of world are they going to inherit? You know, and yet we need to just let the love of God and try to not let those things beat us up that we see happening in the world or don't see happening in the world. And praise God. When we got to learn to move into that. We got to move into that. But we have to first keep the bond of peace first. Endeavor and keep the unity of peace or the bond of peace. And if we'll do that, then that's our part, you know.
On fire today, Oscar. You are.
Yeah.
That makes me think of when you talk about when I saw those groups of birds. Several times I was going in town. They were small blackbirds, and they were up here like a cloud,
yeah.
and they just swept down
yes.
and to the side of the road, ate or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then when they went up, they all were together as a group, and God was showing me. The unity and the oneness,
yeah.
and how when Christ was asking, was wanting us to be one with
right.
Him as He was with His Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
He started showing me how each one had a position, had a place that
right.
He has for each of us,
right.
you know, in the body.
Right.
We all have our place, our position.
Right.
But still, we're all one together. We're one together.
Right.
And we need to be functioning in and allowing God to do in us what His plan and purpose is
right.
for us within the body and with us as individuals.
Right.
If you ever watch that close, when they're all, 100 of them sitting around on the ground, when the first one goes,
They all go.
Exactly.
It did it to the right side.
But
of the road.
None of them will go until the very first one goes.
And then they swoop up and whoop. It's something.
All up turn at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not hitting into one another or nothing. It's all one.
When you see at the change of the seasons, they go in thousands of them, and then they'll come down and sit on the telephone wires.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what they used to be. I don't know if they're still there. And they'll just look like a black cloud.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, whoosh!
Yeah.
Like,
and they're still all together.
Yes.
It's not fluttering.
We aren't fighting over north. No, south. Let's go east.
No, hitting each other.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God.
It's
you know, you were saying, when you were saying, speaking the truth in love, the Lord, I felt like the Lord quickened to me that no matter what you say, if you're not saying it in love, it's not truth.
Right.
It's only that it might be the truth as you think you know it. If you're not speaking it in love,
right.
it's not truth
mm-hmm.
because God is love.
Yeah.
Lots of times we say perfectly wonderful things to people, but not in love.
And it could be a fact.
Yes.
It is a fact.
A fact.
But it's not the truth.
It's not
because it's not given in love. Because love changes.
Love changes.
And it says,
I had a phone call. It was was it yesterday or Friday with my daughter? And she was telling me how they think they finally figured out what's going on with her mentally. And she's gonna start a new therapy. She's got this new therapist, and she sent me a video on what is it, Kath? Something.
What she has?
Yeah.
Personality. Borderline personality.
And this program, and it was really interesting. We watched this. Kath and I watched a video last night. And she sent me this text, and she said, "Dad, you know, I know you're going through stuff. I'll help you." And I said, "You got to understand, you got to help yourself. Mm-hmm. We cannot intersect what's going on between me and you. You got to do it yourself." Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about the first part of that video spoke about spirituality. Mm-hmm. And that is the one thing that she bucks against.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, think about that term. Borderline, what is it, borderline?
Borderline
personality
conflict or whatever.
Disorder,
okay. So what's it really saying? Mistaken identity.
Absolutely.
That's what it's saying, mistaken identity. So you don't really identify who and what you really are. You know what I'm saying?
No question.
Exactly.
And
yes.
What is God trying to get us to do,
mm-hmm.
spiritually speaking, mm-hmm. but to identify with Him in everything? Mm-hmm. And when we do that, then we begin to realize our real true identity. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that J.B. Phillips in the Gospel of John, but the letters of John, where he says, you know, he talks about that if reality were to break forth,
yes.
we would be just like him. And I love he uses the term reality, because if that doesn't fit our day today, I don't know what does, because
mm-hmm.
everything is reality programs and reality this and reality that. And if you went and really watched those programs and watched them film them, a lot of that stuff is staged.
None of
it's
reality.
It's
making you think it's reality, but it's not reality. I mean, let's face it, in some of them places where they're going and there's all these dangerous snakes and different stuff, you think they're going to let one of them snakes kill one of them people? No, because you know what? That show would be off then.
Well,
or they're going to let some alligator or something get that person?
Somebody.
No, I guarantee you they got somebody there to handle that alligator.
I've said that for years. That Survivor show, I said,
yeah.
you're safer walking across the street than you are on Survivor than you are walking across the street.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to get hurt there.
Well, but the funny thing is the thing, and you know, a lot of people are like, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that reality thing is out there so much. And what's God really saying? He's saying, I'm wanting you as being the church to come into the reality of who and what you are in me. And once you do that, reality can break forth throughout the whole earth, you know. And when people come to that realization that Jesus paid the debt for all mankind, and they've already been forgiven, and all they have to do is just say yes, Lord, to the whole situation.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's so simple, but yet it's so complex, you know, because people won't just release and go to the simple thing, you know.
I love that way. It says, if reality is the real.
Right.
And I kind of put that together with the verse that says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it's never even entered into your mind right now, the things that God has prepared. What in the world is reality really like? Oh my gosh, it can be so wonderful in your mind. And if your mind can conceive it, that's not it, it's better. You know, you can't even conceive what God has in store for those who love Him. Wow. I mean, you know, there's more will be revealed. My goodness. We're going to be things of this earth will grow strangely dim.
I've seen it here, not heard. I just wanted to look that up so I could give you it says 1 Corinthians 2:9.
First Corinthians what?
2:9. But it is written, listen to this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, mm-hmm. nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared
yes.
for them that love him.
Oh my gosh.
But it goes on and says, I believe, but by his spirit he's revealed.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think that's what it says. Look, it didn't give me the whole scripture there. Let me look it back up a second. Let's see. Okay.
What eyes have not seen and ears have not heard.
Yeah.
And has not entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared, made, keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, and gratefully reorganizing the benefits he has bestowed.
Read the rest of it though.
Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by.
God has unveiled.
Uh-huh.
He's starting to unveil it, see?
Yes.
Unreal, that's what I like about it.
Revealed them by and through his spirit.
Through and by his spirit.
The Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's a
for one person receives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him.
Uh-huh.
Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God.
Right.
Amen.
And the Passion says, but God now unveils these profound realities
right.
to us by his spirit.
That's good.
Good.
Amen.
Good stuff. This has been a tremendous Sunday school class for me. It has just fed me, till I can eat no more. Praise God. Now I'm going to go out in the other service and we're going to eat some more. It'll be dessert. Mm. Brenda, would you close us in a word of prayer? What a great service.
Father, we're so thankful.
Yes.
Give you praise, Lord, for all that you give of yourself to us, in us, and through us. And Father, I pray that as we go to the next service, that you continue to be glorified, continue to speak to hearts and meet needs. We won't fail to give you the praise and you the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.